You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Are you the first one to the Friday show?
I think so. Haven't really been on here long enough to know, though. But, good morning. Just starting that woeful trek. You were the first ones that I've heard, and I've been monitoring since, about 15 minutes. Good morning, W8RCY.
All right, very good. Yeah, I did the trek down the driveway twice for garbage pickup day. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Sean. I'm still a little sleepy. I don't know why. I've been up a while. K8VSI.
And ADBF. Morning, Dakota. Yeah, today's trash day for me as well. Although I put my cans out in the evening. So, that way if I'm in a rush, I don't have to deal with that. Anywho, morning, Dakota. Are we starting to, plug away. It's Friday. We should be happy, and instead I'm just like, ugh. But I'll be better in a half mile or so. Maybe two. Maybe three. Maybe 3:30. That's how I felt when I woke up this morning. I was like, what do you mean I gotta go one more? I woke up around 4:40. And just fumbled around, and I just said, the heck with it. And I went back to bed, and I got up an hour later, turned the note on, turned the computer on, things like that. Got stuff started, but I didn't turn the radio on until about maybe 10, 15 minutes ago. So I'm slugging, too. Hopefully, this cooler weather, my eyes won't itch as much. And with the rain we're getting, wash some of the crap out of the air. Allergies. I hate them. I'm turning into the gas station. I will be right back. NABBF. Okay, I don't know what our rotation is here this morning, but, hey, Greg, did I hear you got a new radio? You ordered a new radio or something like that?
Yes, 7300 Mark II should be here today, maybe, today or tomorrow, and I'm selling the Alacraft, so I just got to put the little ad together and let people know about it and hopefully get that sold, figure out what I want for it, because it's got all the bells and whistles and then extras and all that, so we'll see, but yeah, radio's new one's coming, and Dakota's picking up my little amp probably today. That I had for it, and that kind of fun stuff. K8VSI.
Yep, nothing new here. Not quite yet anything anyway. I got my a couple of things, but I got to get other things caught up first, so. And project's finished. And I got to get my door wall. Or the ceiling here fixed. It's staying dry. That's the good part. It's just a matter of getting everything repaired. All the damage to the ceilings and the wall. But anyhow, yeah, that's how my day is going to go. Just have them come out and take a look at it and see what they're going to do to start patching things up. Like I said, I'm just discombobulated. My eyes are killing me. You know, I even slept with the windows closed last night thinking it would help. No, it's just, I've never had a miss bad in the 12 years that I've lived here, so it's allergy stuff. I don't know what's going on. I'm just blabbing. Don't mind me. W-8-R-C-Y. Sean, unless Dakota's back.
Must be thirsty today. But, okay, Greg, guy. Okay, so the Mark II, that's, I'm going to be curious about that. I know it has a HDMI output, so you can put the screen up on a TV or monitor. And I know it has a CW decoder. I didn't hear much else besides that. But those are nice. Those are two really nice features. I love my 7300, so that's going to be all that in a box of chocolates. And when you say buying an amp, I assume you had an amp for the KX3. That's what Dakota's buying. I'm intrigued by the Alacraft, and I, you know, part of me would like to, you know, oh, what do you want for that? But I know better. No way. I keep, you know, you're not gonna. They got it in form factor. I don't know if anybody's got it. Such a capable rig and such a small form factor. But if you count, I think all the, you know, the extras that you don't. That aren't built in, you know, perhaps it takes away a little bit of that. I don't know.
Yep, Roger. Sticking with the Alacraft, yeah, if you're using it for QRP and that only, whether you want to do voice or CW, it's perfect. It's very capable. It's very compact. It's very feature-rich because, you know, I've got the tuner in it, I got the battery charger in it, I got the roofing filters in it. It's cool. But from the moment I got it, the way I lean toward operating, I bought a stand for it, I bought a heat sink for it, I bought the handles for it, I bought an amp for it. I made it into something that it's not. So rather than continue using something, you know, as something it's not, I figure I'll sell it to somebody that wants what it is, and I'll get something that goes the way I operate.
Okay. I'll grab it. All right, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, and you know the one I really like, that really small handheld one that they sell, is that the KX1? Man, that thing's nice. CW only. I pine for one of those. I don't use that enough. Wouldn't use it enough to warrant, because it's not cheap. But man, talk about form factor in spades. Get the little built-in key with it. That would be cool as hell. Anyhow, they. Yeah, you got the KX3, which is the super deluxe version. The KX2 is even more compact, but lacks some significant features of the KX3. Very interesting. What do you figure ballpark that whole thing will go for? Like, what's the top dollar those things are fetching right now? I bet it's still up there pretty good, on par with the pricier 7300.
Yeah, just started doing the research on that. Anywhere from 13 to 2,000, but I gotta see, you know, what features each one had, and you know, price mine accordingly to what they're actually selling for. So it's there's so many variables in it. Oh yeah, I got a digi rig for it too, so there's that. But anyway, so yeah, it'll fetch me a good chunk of cash. And on the 7300, the HDMI port probably won't do me much good in the field. I have it on my 7610 and don't really use it because I use remote control software. The one thing you missed on that was it's got a network port too. The Mark II does. That's a good feature for me. KEABSI. Dakota, you back.
I'm back and I'm kicking myself. I just drove another mile down the road. I paid $409, so it's $58 for a half tank, and it's $472 a mile down the road. So I got to start paying attention to that.
You guys continue on. I'm going to step out. I've got to do something here, get my day started and deal with my allergies. So everybody have a good day. I'll be listening, but I'm going to step out of the rotation. Everybody have a good Friday. W8RCY.
All righty, Donald. Talk to you later. If you hear anything pop up in the conversation, jump back in. You know how it works. Jump in, jump out. Anyhow, yeah, on the HDMI port, yeah, if you're using it at home. Now, I thought my 7300 had a network port. I've got mine connected up to the LAN. So I'm confused on that. Pretty sure my 7300 has one.
I guess I can't say I'm 100% positive. But I thought it was USB connection only. But if you got one and you think it's on the LAN, then maybe it does. I thought that was a new feature with the Mark II, but maybe not.
I thought the 7300 original one was, what is it called? A USB 2.0, like the printer port?
Yeah, it definitely has that, but we're talking, in addition to that, a LAN port, an RJ45.
But is that how I'm finding it, as a USB device? Maybe that's, because I know I can connect up to it remotely. You know, I have to use the software. I can't connect to it directly. I have to, use the ICOM software, and then I can, I got that 9700, and Maybe I'm blurring. I'm not remembering. I haven't done any of that in ages, so who knows?
9700 does, in fact, have a network port on it.
I'd like my Dream Shack, a 9700, a 7300 Mark II with my 705 on top. That's my shack, except I don't have the Mark II.
Pretty much there at my home shack. So the 7610, the 9700, and then believe it or not, my daily driver is at UIT 9600 for repeaters and whatnot.
I was going to bring my R7 to lunch today, and I totally forgot. Oh, you. Yeah, so, anyhow, as far as the 705 and a 7300, I put this, there's this device called a PTRX that I purchased. You might want to look into it. And it installs in the 7300. And what it does is it gives you a, it peels off a port. So whatever antenna you're using for the 7300, that it has a feeder. You know, and then I run that to my 705, so now, and then I got myself one of those little programmable switches, I forget what they're called, got that from Larry, and I programmed that up with A, B, A equals B, so I used the 705 and the 7300 as a dual receive, dual VFO. The two of those make the, make my poor man 75, what's 7150, right? Anyhow. I forgot the rotation. Is it Greg's turn? We're all confused.
I'll be right back.
There you have it. So, yeah, so I, I like that 7150. I'd get one of those, you know, if I had the, really, if my shack situation was a little different, I'd probably get one of those, and then I'd have that. And I'd probably still keep the 7300 and just dedicate it to six. That's probably the biggest reason I don't upgrade. I don't look to sell it and upgrade to the Mark II, is that, you know, for where it'll probably end up in my grand shack idea, it'll be pretty much a dedicated 6 meter machine. But I don't know, you know, grandiose plans. And or I could just sell everything and get a 7760. These numbers are throwing me for a loop. That's what I should do. Then I could sell my PW1 and get a PW2, and then I could just retire and move to Florida. Put it all on a vertical antenna. AEA-WOJ. Morning, Rick.
Hi, guys. I heard Sean say, hey, we're all confused, and I thought, hey, that's the place for me.
Yeah, that's right. We're all discombobulated this morning. We're not doing the rotation thing very well, but oh well. You know, we will survive. We will endeavor to persevere.
All right, had a phone call, had to deal with there. Yeah, that setup for your dual receive sounds interesting. Never thought of doing it that way, but heck, that works pretty good, eh?
All right, let's see here. Greg's back in the rotate. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I've never really put it to test on DXing or contesting or anything like that, but, you know, the 705 can, you know, serves as a spotting receiver, or, you know, if I want to split, I can use it for the split. And, you know, there is a sacrifice, though. You sacrifice 3 dB, in the DTRX, not that it really matters, but it's pretty slick, and it's nice being able to feed that, you know, whatever antenna I'm using for my main rig, nice to be able to feed it off to anything, really. I was feeding it to an SDR, and the SDR was allowing me to do total computer control, you know, in conjunction with, like, Ham Radio Deluxe, and that was the PTRX. That's the real reason I bought it, and so... The PTRX feeds the SDR. The SDR, is set up to control the 7300, and then that was up on the screen. It's a really slick setup. So we'll send it over to Dakota, and then Dakota to Rick, and then back to Greg. Starbucks. NADBF. I need to mature my HF setup. It's pretty sad at the moment. It's just a wire in the backyard and then a 705, but it'll get better today. I'm going to get that hardware from Greg, so I hope that makes it a little more gooder. But I do miss the days of just turning on the 7300 and making contacts. It was a lot of fun, but I don't really have the space on my desk, which is the frustrating part. I think when we finish the basement, that shack's going to get moved down there. Go ahead, Rick.
Are you H?
Gotcha, RUH. Before I forget there, that stuff I sent you on them hunting rifles there, I mistakenly thought that was covering all the hunting rifles, but it doesn't. There's like 67 of them, but there's a whole bunch they forgot, or just didn't bother with. But anyway, before I forget, I thought I'd remind you. RUH, go ahead and pass it over to Greg, I guess it is.
Good morning, gentlemen. Rolling a little bit late today, so just wanted to hop in. Was there any decision made on what's happening for lunch?
I am all for lunch. I will be eating lunch. But no, as far as the plan, nothing yet. I don't know who's going to take the lead on that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. Okay, DSI, I think, Dakota, maybe?
I think I pop up next, I think. But, yeah, I'll be watching and listening. So when we decide on a what and a when and a where, just let me know, and I shall be there with bells on. Dakota? Trying to think. Anthony, where? How far does it make sense for you to go?
Sorry, Rick, I'm going to jump in. I could, I mean, if it makes sense, then it's, I could come pretty far if it's just needed. If you guys wanted to do that national at, was that 59 and, Garfield, or maybe it's Garfield, in front of, there was an ABC warehouse or something over there at one point, right next to the, I don't know what else is right there, if that makes any sense.
The question is, are you going home after?
No, I'm most likely going back to the office.
All right, so you don't need to go any further east than that. So, yeah, let's just do that then. It's right at, what, Shaner? Or no, Hayes?
Yes, Hayes it is.
Everyone good with that? Like noon 15, Shaner and Hayes, Coney Island? Or no, not Shaner and Hayes. Hall and Shaner, Hayes, wherever. It's national or by ABC?
I'm in. Noon 15. See you then. Go back to the regular rotation. I think Rick was next and everybody else can go after that.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Back to, I forgot where you did it. What did you pass it to? I just know I passed it to you. I was passing it to Anthony there, and then he was passing it to you. But anyway, we go ahead and we'll try to get back in again.
All right, go ahead, Greg.
Okay, I wasn't sure there. There's a national, I believe, on Hall Road between Hayes and Tilts by the ABC warehouse. Noon 15, that works for me. That's my confirmation. Sean, go ahead.
Yep, that works for me. National, noon or so. All right. I'm just pulling up here at work. I'm going to get inside and get situated and all that good stuff. We'll see. I'll talk to you shortly, but if not, we'll see everybody around at National around noon. W8FU, Dakota? Someone make sure Wally knows as well.
Oh, sorry, I think it's my turn. I got a little medical stuff going on here. You guys go ahead. How are you eight?
All right, Rick, I hope everything's good. I don't know what the topic was before I inserted lunch talk, so I will go over to Greg and Dakota, and we'll figure out what's going on from there.
All righty. Hey, Dakota, I believe that 705, I'm not sure how it hooks up to an amplifier. I am including a cable that plugs into the back of my amplifier, and the other end I wired for my Elecraft. But I believe they had some sort of little buffer thing that may or may not have been necessary. But in worst case, you might have to change the end of the cable to an RCA, if I remember right. But I'm trying to see if I bought that buffer thing. I may have. I'll have to figure that out as well. I'm just kind of making sure I include everything that needs to be included.
I appreciate it. I did the board swap on the 705 because I know it was super susceptible to frying when you hooked up an external amp. I think this 705
uses a, if it's not for the 705 and RF sensing, it uses a 3.5 millimeter. At least that's how the tuner works.
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, I'll grab it real quick here. If you did the board swap, then you don't need that little buffer thing. That's good. And I believe you're correct, it's a 3.5 millimeter. Unfortunately, the end on my cable is a 2.5 millimeter. So you might need to swap that out, you know, cut it off and solder on a 2.5, or a 3.5, sorry. So that would be pretty simple. But I'll give you the cable. One end of it will at least be correct. You might get away with an adapter, a 2.5 to 3.5. I think we tried that on KZ8Zs. But it wasn't rock solid, so there you go. Now you know kind of know what to have in your head. KE8VSI, I don't even know who's supposed to get it. Whoever is next, take it, please.
Dakota, that's you, buddy.
My bad. Anthony, I got your gear. I got your repeater that you gave Sean as well, that's going back to its father, that's hopefully going to get it up in the air this summer. And I think that's it. I got the power cable for your 4550. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. Should be all good.
You know, I was talking so high and mighty about those little tram antennas yesterday. Well, I put my mount on the new truck and ran the cable into the cab and all that. The SWR was like 2.5 at 447. I'm like, what is going on? So I just finally gave up. I tried trimming it. I couldn't get it right. The dip was super low in the band. It was like 430. And I finally just gave up, put my 2x4 on. 2x4 is a 1.2, but it sounds like crap. So I don't know what the hell is going on.
I don't know how an antenna can sound like crap, but that 2x4 normally just rocks. Maybe it's got a loose connection somewhere and it's giving you static. I don't know. The other one, that high, that's weird too. Don't know why that would be.
Is that that little dinky one that you were talking about the other day that you're saying is out of whack?
Yeah, it was like 1.2 on a mag mount, 1.5 on the mount on the other truck, and on this truck it's like a 2.5. I don't know what happened. I think it's got to be the ground plane or ground field or whatever, because it's on the bed rail. There's really nothing there. So what I was reading is I could get some braided wire or whatever and strap it to the bed or the frame. And that would probably help, so I might experiment with that. But also I was using an NMO adapter. My mouse was a UHF. It wasn't a true NMO, so I'm wondering if that's part of it too, because I had to take the thing apart and put it back together. So I remember when I was putting it on the other truck, I had to have it just right or SWR wasn't perfect.
It's got to be something along those lines. That's the only thing that makes sense, but if it doesn't, when you're fiddling with it, you can't figure it out. It's like, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with stuff that should be pre-tuned and you want to just, like, set it up and go.
I had two of them, and I ended up sacrificing one trying to tune it because you can't tune them. Like, they have this little plug on the bottom to where it's fixed. You can't lengthen or shorten it, which is frustrating, but yeah, I gave up. I put the 2x4 on because I don't want to cook the radio. SWR is good, but it's just completely unnecessary to have that big of an antenna on this thing now.
After seeing yours, I'm thinking about reducing mine. I like having the gain I have, but I don't really use VHF, so I could definitely do something a little different. I'll be looking into that one of these days. Okay, E8VSI.
Yeah, I actually, I think it was yesterday, just ordered one of those, Dakota, that little short guy that you were talking about. So hopefully we can get it worked out, figure it out. And it, like you said, it could just be the grounding being on the bed rail.
I think you'll be fine. They work fine on the other truck. They work great on the mag mount I bought for them. I don't think it has anything to do with the antenna. I think it's everything to do with the installation. So the 2x4 is either big enough that it's, I don't know, it's got all kinds of crap on it with little coils and traps and all that. So I'm sure that matches the SWR up, but I think because of the length of it and it coupling with the truck, I'm getting a better ground plane than that dinky little 7-inch antenna.
Yeah, I'll be looking for something probably in the middle between that dinky one you got and the big diamond that I got, the dual band. I'll get something in between. Just UHF only with some gain and a MO mount should do me just fine.
Yep, I definitely like the 2x4, but it is a bit obnoxious sometimes, especially on my car. Driving a sedan, it can get, it's a pretty big antenna.
I don't know that I've ever seen that thing on your car, but now I kind of want to. Yeah, at least on my truck, it's on the bed rail. It looks, I don't want to say it looks factory, but it's more inconspicuous because it's kind of just mounted on the bed rail. It sits behind the cab and only a little bit sticks up above it. But on a car, yeah, that thing probably looks ridiculous.
You know, when I got it, the whole setup, I was on the road constantly, you know, and I was talking constantly, and I wanted something that would be the best for either band gain-wise and all of that, and it worked very well. But for today's purposes, I could definitely downsize.
Yeah, a lot of times if I'm going on a trip or I'm going to be farther from repeaters, I'll throw it on now, but I don't, it's just so big, and it was creating a lot of torsion on my trunk deck lid, and it just didn't make sense. I was running those Bingfu ones that Eric likes for a while, and they're great. They're really good antennas, but the build quality is crap. I went through like 3 of them in like 4 months, or maybe it was 6 months, but I had to find something else. And what I'm using now works pretty well. It's just that Amazon junk antenna.
That is the only knock I can give to the 2x4, is it's just too much. But probably the best mobile antenna. I mean, it just works. And this is I'm pretty sure the one I have on my truck. Anthony, I sold you or gave you the one. I want to say I've got my original, which was from, like, 2022. I don't know how long antennas are supposed to last, but to me, if you're losing, you know, cheaper antennas every 6 months, that's a testament to its build, too. But like Greg, I don't need it. I'm in range of repeaters all the time now. There's a couple spots where no matter what antenna I have, it doesn't work. So there's no reason to have almost a 4-footer hanging off the back of the truck.
Yeah, me and Eric compared the 2x4 to the diamond one that I have. They're very, very comparable, depending between VHF, UHF, and GMRS. There'll be a little bit of variance on actual, you know, signal levels and getting out and all of that, but they're very, very comparable. I got mine in 2022, late 2022, and it's still perfect. I mean, you know, it shows the weather it's been through, but other than that, it's perfect.
Yeah, the one, you know, those are all metal, and that, the one that, at Bingfu has a bunch of plastic on it, and that's where I ended up in some trouble. It didn't fare well through winters, and, it just crap out. the connections aren't that good and stuff like that.
Before I buy another antenna, I think I'm going to hit the reset button and switch to an NMO mount. I started with what was my first antenna? I think it was a Comet HD mag mount. And then I put a 2x4. I think that was the first mobile antenna setup I had, which was ridiculous. I had it on the very top of my Trailblazer that I got at my old job, and it looked like a remote control roller skate. So I've just kind of stuck with it. I've always bought UHF antennas, which there's nothing wrong with them, but there's so many more options in the NMO world, and in my opinion, it's a better mount. So I need to just bite the bullet, buy the mount again, and then when I buy my next antenna, just buy it in NMO.
Yeah, I've never had anything but NMO, so it definitely works quite well. I got an adapter for my ham sticks, and it's kind of weird trying to wrangle that ham stick onto it, you know, on the roof like that with all that length, but just to get the thread started. But other than that, it's the way to go. You know, it works real good for the UHF-VHF stuff.
Yeah, Dakota, I'm right there with you. I find myself wishing that I had NMO often. I have one mag mount NMO, but it's not the, you know, it's not the one that's quote unquote hardwired into my car.
Be right back, KE8VSI.
Yeah, my complaint with this 2x4 is it just takes up, like, so much, I don't know, it's like ambient static almost. Like, my signal in's clean, signal receives clean, but there's just an annoying, like, background fluffing, snowing, kind of. And the SWR is good, the connections are all tight. I tested this cable last night, I terminated it, like, everything's good. And no matter what radio hooks up to this antenna, that happens. So, it's like $30 from Relove. He makes, I think I can still use the same exact plate, because all it is a bulkhead, and instead of a UHF to UHF, it's a UHF to NMO, and I think I'm going to order that, and then try again, excuse me, and then just strap that. I got to figure out where to ground it, but I guarantee you, because I can tell too, when I touched the mount, the SWR would go down, so I guarantee you it's a ground plane issue. But on that note, I'm backing in, and I've already got people blowing up my phone and annoying the crap out of me Friday morning. So I'm going to clear out and get inside, but I will see everyone at lunch. Text me if anything changes. N8DBS.
All right. We'll see you in a little bit. KERUH.
WHVD. Mobile.
KERUH. What's going on, Wally?
Good morning, sir.
Hey, I don't know if you caught wind, but there's a couple of us meeting for lunch today at the National Coney Island on 59 in Hayes.
I need the other cross street. I caught Hayes, but I didn't catch the first street.
59 in Hayes, Hall Road in Hayes.
I might be able to pull that one off because I have a 10:30 appointment in Sterling Heights, so that might work.
Okay, we're meeting at noon 15. So yeah, it'd be cool if you're there.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
All right, I'm pulling up to the office. Maybe I'll see you at lunch. KERUH.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Wally. KE8PSI.
Hey, Greg, what's up?
Ah, been just running around doing a couple of errands, and I think Anthony just mentioned lunch to you.
Yeah, I might be able to pull that one off. Just a second. I got to get this. It's already started work. Okay, I'm back.
Got to deal with that pesky work stuff.
Yeah, one of our sales reps is under the weather, and he left early yesterday, and he called in sick this morning. I kind of expected it, so I just wanted to make sure. I saw an accident down by the office. I just took it because I wanted to make sure it wasn't one of our trucks. I'm going to have to look at the GPS when I get there.
All right, yep, got to make sure everybody's okay. Anyway, pulling into my next stop. Hopefully we'll see you around the noonish time. KE8 VSI.
Yeah, for once the timing's actually pretty decent. Alright, thanks guys. W.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Gail.
Well, I was doing some miscellaneous things for Autumn, getting rid of, service for Jason Baker's van, and then had nothing else for me today. So I'm actually, I went and checked with everybody and heading over Packard to go help Dylan out in Livonia.
Oh, what's Dylan got?
First of all, I guess he's going to a Google out in Ann Arbor first. Well, I could have probably done this myself, but had to do just a replacement of a recessed door contact for the access. And then he's going to meet me over in KTX on Schoolcraft over in Livonia on a camera.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yesterday I helped out a little bit with Ken and that way, NHT, aren't you? No, I am not. I'm on the mobile. I should be running high power, and let's see, I'm on Southside Telegraph. I'm trying to learn, man, it's probably coming up here to Big Beaver.
I'll change over to the LTS machine on Central Michigan, because I'm not sure if you're running Warren or what, but you're coming in and out.
W8RAT, I am on the KC8 LTS machine.
Must be the trees, then.
That could be. But I also have to check on, put this antenna on the VNA, make sure I got it centered where I want it here. Probably pretty good. Here's some other guys talk this morning, I guess, mostly mobile. And Tom, let me ask you, I think you told me before, what would you recommend for a monoband UHF antenna? What's your recommendation? Because normally I was telling them, normally I get dual bands. I like my FBP7. But I was thinking maybe getting one for the mobile just specifically for 440 for TMR purposes.
You can just get like a little bullet antenna, that should be fine. I mean, I'm just running, magmounts up there. And, you know, they're both dual banders, but they handle 100 watts each. But on my interceptor, I got a Larson, and I got a bullet antenna for UHF DMR, and it works just fine.
You're talking like the municipal police and that would carry on their vehicles, correct? I didn't know that those worked so well. I thought those were basically like a step up from a dummy load. I didn't know those kind of worked all right. I thought they were working. You know, they would be able to be working, but nothing great. Anyway, I'm going to keep on taking a look, see what's out there to offer. Nothing I need to get, you know, like tomorrow or anything like that, so I got plenty of time.
Yeah, the little bullet works just fine for UHF and DMR. But for for VHF and UHF, you know, dual band. But I just bought a Larson. The other one up here, I got another Larson. I got a Tram, and I got a Comet MR-77 that works just fine.
Well, for the dual band, I'll probably stick with my FBP7. The conversation earlier this morning, I didn't get in, but I think Andrew was talking about, I don't know what model it was, if I asked him, but he said he had a fairly long mobile antenna. I guess it's put some stress on the trunk lid, so he was talking about getting a smaller one. I know years ago, I picked up a Diamond SG7900, fairly long for a mobile antenna, dual band. And according to the specifications, you know, the theoretical specifications, it's supposed to have better gain than the SBD7, but when I lived out towards Marine City, I was able to do some comparisons, and the SBD7 still worked out much better when I got out to the fridge area. I could go to a spot where I know that I would, with the SG7900, I know I would be rough into the system, and then I could switch right over as I was staying in that spot to the SBB7, and greatly improve. Maybe got full quieting at that time, but much improvement of the signal, so SG7900 didn't really work out that good. And count me up a comment. My signal improving as I'm heading south.
Yeah, you sound fine.
So where are you out about to today?
Heading to Plymouth. Take care of an access issue there, and then I gotta go to Connor Street in Detroit. Figure out their issue.
Was that something I think I heard Mike mention about a sticking door or something to that effect? I don't know if that was the same location.
Connor Street is CNS, and says the card reader's not working, so I'll check it out when I get there. I am in no rush.
Okay, yeah, that was a different site, I think, but same company, yeah. I thought he'd make mention for CNS. I was asking about that, and I thought, well, that's probably not my skill level there for doing any form of troubleshooting, so I'm going to opt out of that one. So I skipped out. So I was looking to see about doing any fire inspections, but I guess you said Burns has basically got it all caught up for this month. There's one more left. So, oh well. Just out and about doing something here, trying to stay somewhat active, so they can have a reason to pay me.
Yeah, you can help Dylan with the cameras over at MTX. That shouldn't be too difficult. KCQQ.
Nope, sure isn't. Probably gonna see about taking a look over the weekend here, go to Ram Mountain, see about getting some other mounts for the radios and the radio, or since it's radio, but the radio heads here in the car, in the van. I'm currently using my personal phone holder here. Excuse me, boy. But I'm going to see about getting a different type of mount. I don't know if I have to get some parts for another mount that I want for my personal vehicle for my other two radios so I can have them on the pedestal. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if I really want to do it or not. Just thought about it, but getting one of the ones that you would loosen up the console and then slide it so it's for the mount that would extend upwards off of the rod. But I think for the radio, I'm just going to drill some holes right in. Probably the front here. I was trying to see if I could maybe stick along the side away from me. But I'm thinking that may be a little harder to get to in case I want to, you know, monkey around with getting antenna pulled out or anything like that. But probably see if I can get that done over the weekend here. That won't be too bad. Go up two holes and get some bolts and be done with it. So I'd like to see some pictures up here. Set up before and after, because like I said, I told you before, I'm jealous of you for that play show you got. Although I think I'd probably check it out with everything from PC to daylight, maybe even stick a satellite dish on it. Well, I'm exaggerating there a little bit. W8RIT, waiting for Tom to return.
Yeah, I was trying to find your number on my phone, on my personal phone, to send you the picture.
Well, so yeah, say before and after, because I would like to have one like that, and then when I'm done, I would like to say, well, there, White House Communications Agency, eat your heart out.
All I did is I just got the setup of the, well, you're on Facebook, aren't you?
No, I am not. I got booted off years ago. Actually, don't even really miss it, to be quite honest with you. You know, Tom, I was asking you, what kind of radio did you suggest for Brad to get? Did you get him just a CMRS only, or did you get him something that do everything but program it for CMRS? I was just kind of curious if you got them. Probably, you know, relatively same cost, I'd imagine, roughly. You can probably find some speed away. So I was just kind of curious if you got something for ham radio as well.
Brad has a TYT MD9600. We'll go get UD77 firmware on it. And I got it at an estate sale. So, and then he already had an antenna, because I had another radio in his car there that he was using. But I gave him the 9600, and I dumbed it down to just GMRS.
I'm not certain about the FD9600, what its features are. So I'm assuming that it's all of the above, so could you have it? Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to have that just in the future if you're, you know, spending roughly about the same amount of money anyway. So hopefully, keep our fingers crossed, we'll give it a little hint and spur against a ticket here sometime.
Oh, he's nowhere close to getting his ham ticket. And so we just use it for communication because we travel so much. It's a lot easier than trying to talk on the phone. And, oh crap, I just had a brain freeze. Hold on a second, I gotta remember what I was gonna say. Casey, could you?
Right, it has to do with mobile antennas, possibly. That's just talking about the FD9600 form. See, maybe something to throw the memory along, so maybe you thought of it here now. See how the weather's going to be. I got to see if I can get my dipole back up so I can get back on the desk. Came down a few weeks back. My vertical. It works, but nothing great.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, the TYT MD9600. It has a stock firmware, and then you put OpenGD77 in it. And it's UHF, VHF, and DMR. And it's 50 VHF, 45 UHF. So, it's right where you need it. That one usually runs probably about $299 or something, just under $300. It's not very expensive, but it's a good all-around radio for the cost. I mean, then you get up and out to the other things. I mean, I have my Elenco that if I would have put the digital chip in it, it could have done DNR, DMR. But can't get the chip now, so that's just tuning at 440, that's all it's used for, analog. So then I got my Motorola XPR4550 UHF DMR in my interceptor. And of course in here I got the Motorola XPR5550E, and that's VHF and DMR, and then I got my Yaesu.
Yeah, I've got to take a little bit better look. I did some preliminary Googling around for some searching. I'm trying to see if I can find like a table or something along the lines where it would be a comparison chart for the different models. To sum up, I guess, simply what the differences are. When I go to look around, I got a better idea as far as what the features are that would kind of distinguish one from another. So, something else I was going to ask you about the radio. I know what it was. I think I was talking with Sean a few days ago. I've also kind of been thinking, nothing serious again, because it would probably be pretty inactive, I guess, overall, but I was thinking I wouldn't mind having something for 220. The only thing I got for 220 is my VX7R, which is 150 milliwatts or something like that on 220. So I don't really consider that. Wouldn't mind an all mode. But I was taking a look at the Elenco site, and I saw they had one for DMR, well, 2 meter, 220, and 440. I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty good. It would give me a DMR mobile, which I want. And that is also 220, but I was looking at the specifications, and it's 55 watts on 2 meters, 45 on 440, but only 5 on 220. I'm thinking, well, that's kind of, I don't know, they kind of didn't have, you know, they did the job improperly, kind of. They didn't really go the full extent they should have and gave it more power than that, but... So I was thinking, oh, that would be kind of nice. I would be able to fill two bills at once, but I'd have something just for the option if I wanted to.
Get a radio that doesn't have a 60-second timeout. WADAP.
Come out with something with better power on 220.
Well, there's not a lot of repeaters for 220 around here, so very...
limited, I guess you can say. Oh, yeah, very, very much so. I mean, I've listened occasionally on 220, and, yeah, there's some people out there, but it would probably be pretty lonely. it's pretty sparse here. And then, but yeah, I think you, Carl, didn't you, NAAE, Silent G now? And he used to live out in California, and he was telling me, yeah, he's like, boy, everything you feel, even including 6 meters, but all the repeater pairs are always taken up. So he said it's very, very full all the time. It's pretty congested. But he said, yeah, there's a lot of it. He told me there's a lot of activity at 220, just so they can help disperse some of the VHF activity elsewhere. But as I said, I'm just thinking about it. You know, nothing definite, because I'm aware, like you made mention, that it's not really actively used here in our area.
Exactly. There's only a few sites that run 220. I know one's in Lansing. I think there's one in Flint, but don't quote me on that. There really isn't much 220 out there. UHF is the big dog around here. And then VHF is secondary, so that's why I didn't invest in anything with 6 meter or 220. Not worth it. All right, dude, I'm about to get off on the freeway here, over here in Plymouth, so I'll cut you loose, and we'll chat more on here when I'm on the bout. So I'll say 73 on your final. Peace, dude. Yeah.
Okay, 73, Tom. Not too bad, because I'm just about ready to get on 96 myself, so I don't have too much further to go either, so I need to be paying attention where I'm going. 6 meters is kind of fun. I don't really do a whole lot of 6 meters at all, but it's kind of nice because it is a magic band. Basically, a lot of times all you need is the proverbial wet noodle for an antenna, and you're getting out. But yeah, 6 meters I'm sure is even probably more active around here than 220, so. Anywho, we'll let you go, and we'll talk to you later, Tom. Have a great day. W-A-R-I-T.
Connected to CMN Network.
I'll be late, EAP.
KF8S.
That was W8RIT. Are you still out there? KJO, are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still out here, Eric. I'm just about to go into an account. What's up? KJO.
Yeah, I had the radio on the last couple of days. I noticed that friend of yours is thinking about a 220 radio, but I was going to mention the Kid Radio H8 is an excellent 10-watt handheld for like $50, and it has 220 on it. If he, you know, probably puts out 5 watts on 220. So if he wants to dabble in 220 and, you know, whatever, that'd be a radio, but doesn't have DMR on it, but... Yeah, there's several radios that have DMR and 220, but not just the Olenco. But by the time I get to the radio, he usually disappears. So anyhow, how you doing today?
Oh, living the dream, I guess you can say. Keeping busy at work, kind of slow. But coworker and I, we got enough stuff loaded up for us today. Try to bang it out before the weather hits.
Yeah, pretty much same here. Got doctor's appointments today. That's why it's probably going to rain this afternoon. Dave always says, always rains when Eric has a doctor's appointment. Well, I got doctor's appointment this afternoon, so it's probably going to rain. But yeah, I'm just in that really slow recovery. It's kicking my butt. Every time I take a step forward or two, I get a kick the step back, so still struggling, but, yeah. What year is, I think you told me, what year is that interceptor? I think is it 2016?
Yeah, 2016. Hold on, got a phone call.
I'm going to intercept lunch.
Yeah, about ready to have, I'm going to have lunch early today, normal person time. Not quite, but yeah, it's going to interfere with my whole schedule. But, hopefully everything will turn out okay today. But something else I was going to say, I forgot. Well, anyhow, how is this radio sounding? I haven't used this radio much. I'm on the repeater. How's it sounding?
Sounding pretty good. I've got the noise canceling though on this radio. This is the 890 that I'm on. I'm just doing an experiment, seeing how viable an HT in a car is going to be with this amp. So, you're sounding good over here. How is it sounding back to you?
WADAP, sound great over here. No problem at all. But yeah. If you get that noise canceling on, it'll be just like DMR, because, you know, that noise is so annoying when you're driving around. That's what I like about DMR. I don't like it on a bass, but in the car it's better because it filters out all that noise that you normally get in the car. You know, picket fencing and, you know, bacon frying and all that crap is gone on DMR. But in the house, I'd rather listen to analog.
Yeah, there's some pros and cons. Like, sometimes it will completely null somebody's voice, so you got to turn it off. And this one's got levels, which I think are, like, just different algorithms. And so I just have it on the very conservative lowest one, and that seems to be good enough. But I the one thing I like about it is you can turn it off if you want to. Like, a lot of those Chinese radios, it's like there's noise canceling and you don't get a choice.
Yeah, some of my radios, like you said, have kind of too much noise canceling because it nulls out the really weak signals. But some of my radios have, like, partial, where it's just about right. And not it's enough to take the noise out, but not too much to mute out weak signal. So I got so many HTs, I forget which is which, but, you know, lose track. But yeah, some of my radios are pretty intrusive. I mean, it really nulls out the noise too much. So, and it'd be nice to have a switch. That's one thing that I've never seen on a Chinese radio is an actual switch to turn off that noise canceling.
Okay, Theta. Yeah, I think you'd really like this UHF amp. You know, the one that we were looking at. You have to put it between 2 and 6 watts, so you can't, like, try to save your battery and put it down to, like, 0.02. You know, yeah, it needs to be in that range of 2 to 6 so the amp doesn't fire. I tried, if you go above 6, it actually goes down. It actually, like, will nullify the power. And so, like, if you want to do, like, 10 watts, you just basically just disconnect the amp and just go straight.
1080 dBs.
Yep. I'd have to pick a radio that does 3 to 6 watts on medium or 3 to 6 on high. Go ahead, Dakota.
You guys talking about that lovely BTEC amp?
Yeah, it works great. You just got to know its limitations. Just turned on the Hall Road. I'm on my way.
Yeah, same here. I'm just trying to pull out of the parking lot.
I go by your office a lot when I go to that Chick-fil-A.
So which one are we going to? There's one at Tilt. Is that a national?
Yeah, Hall Road. So you know where the medical center is, right? It's like right after the medical center and like by that ABC warehouse, like you were saying. So it's sandwiched in between ABC warehouse and like the Tilt area or whatever.
All right, cool. I'll be there in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you'll be there before me. I'm at Hyde and Drake.
Hyde and bye.
I can see that light, so you're about a mile behind me.
There's a truck. It looks like a Dalmatian. He basically painted his car black and white like a Dalmatian.
I see things that I don't want to see every day on this road, and that would be one of them.
It's either that or Oreo ice cream. I seriously need to get a webcam, or not a webcam, but a front-facing camera in the car, just for to go back to get footage.
I've looked at him a couple times, and I always decide it's a bad idea. Eric, are you still out here?
Yep. WAPAP. Well, if you get one of those cameras, make sure you turn the GPS off, because if something happens and you happen to be going 5 over the speed limit, you know, you're incriminating yourself, even if it has absolutely not. I mean, even if you're doing 10 over the speed limit and the person pulls out directly in front of you, they're going to blame you. Well, you're doing 10 over, even though it wouldn't matter. It would matter if you're doing 45 or 55 if someone pulls out directly in front of you, like, instantly. So, if you get one of those, turn off the GPS.
Yep, yeah. Well, I would, like I said, I'd only use it for the silly stuff. I wouldn't even use it for accidents.
That's why I don't want one. If something happened, I guarantee I'm also not completely innocent.
Yeah, but the thing is, everybody, I mean, they did a study on I-75, and the average speed is between 80 and 85. Like, 80 in the slow lane, 85 or higher in the fast lane. So, you know, you follow the science, science will tell you the safest speed is the speed that everybody else is going. So the pack, the traffic pack moves along at 80 to 85 on I-75. You know, that's a fact. So, you know.
That's my philosophy.
I mean, if you actually see someone doing 70 on 75, they're in the slow lane with their four-ways on. That's they're driving on a donut tire. There's something's wrong or something, you know. It's always like, God, I wonder what's wrong with that guy.
All right, I'm here. I'm going to clear out. I'll see you in a bit, Dave, and Eric, I'll talk to you later at ATDS.
Yep, just parking KFADS.
You guys have a great lunch, and I'm hopefully, knock on wood, soon I'll be able to join you guys with these little lunch excursions, but not quite. Catch you later. WAEAP.
Currently connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.
KCAKJL.
KCAKJO, NAWRO.
NAWRO, KCAKJO.
Howdy, Tom. Quick question for you. Your town, Boardman Road, place called Shelby Generator. Do you know that guy?
If I saw his face, I would say yes. But I'm going to have to say, unless his name is Kyle.
Yeah, he's got a shop right where the school bus is parked there, just immediately west of M-19. And he does work on generators. Fixing to give him a call. I'm going to bring mine up there. I'd rather have him kind of give it the once-over and make sure it's all good. Looks like he does champion generators.
Then I would say go to him. Rather than support local business, going to some of these big conglomerates. So I've never met him, but why not? If he's serving as champion, then there you go.
Yeah, copy that. He's got some good reviews online, and he, you know, he's close to me. And some of these other places, Weingartz, Ball Equipment, they don't touch Champion. So I'm happy to find someone that does. So just curious, figure local in your town, not too far away from, what's that place, the Doghouse?
Oh, Doghouse got some good food. Tammy does. Tammy runs a good crew there.
Who knows? If I time this right for a weekend, we're going to be busy this Saturday, though. But, yeah, maybe we'll do lunch or something up there.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. I'll talk to Melissa on it. Yeah, we can do the Doghouse. I can go for some of their pizza.
Alrighty, sounds good. I missed this morning. Are you local today, or are you going out and about?
No, I'm local today. Yesterday was Saginaw, then Chesterfield. Got done with Chesterfield, shot home, started researching the lights on the interceptor, and then they called me up for an emergency run out in Taylor, so I had to pack everything up and get the dogs all set up and take off again. I didn't get home till 9:30.
NAWRO. Oh, that's right. I remember hearing that, and I knew that's why you weren't going to be on the net. It's just you got that extra overtime. So, yeah, no, you know how to do a 214, right? So you're all set.
Hundred percent.
All righty, Tom. Thanks for the info. I'll cut you loose. NAWRO, after you, sir.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon. 73, KCAKJO.
KCAKJO and NAWRO. This is NAZR. I want to talk to you guys.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, I just want to jump in there and, good morning, you guys. Good afternoon. I just want to jump in there and ask you something really quick here. I noticed this weird thing on my radio last night in my mobile in my car, the TYC 8900. Wait a minute, breaks the time. And I'm sitting there listening to KC8LPS, and all of a sudden music starts coming across on KC8LPS. I thought, wow, that's really weird. And I'm listening to it for a while, and then all of a sudden I says, something's not right here. And I just keyed the mic and unkeyed it really quick, and the music went away. Did you guys ever hear anything like that or ever see anything like that?
KWRO. The only time recently, Brian, was when we were getting the feed from Central Michigan with the, you know, the astronauts, and they did their wake-up music, and that was legit. But as far as I know, that's the only time it's legit. But I'll send it over to Tom, see what he thinks. Yeah, Brian, you might have jumped out. So, yeah, I really don't have an answer for you on that. But I know it was kind of throwing people for a loop at the beginning when, the Artemis mission was going there, and we got the wake-up music and we on 7.2, and, you know, we left it connected because all of us, we would like listening to it. But some of the guys had to be, that's the one exception. So other than that, I don't know what's going on the other side there.
Yeah, I really like that Artemis rebroadcast. I really like that. That was really cool. I know what you're talking about, and it sounded exactly like that, but it wasn't the Artemis mission. It was just some other garbage on the radio. And, you know, a couple of times, I do a lot of scanning. A couple of times I've noticed that on certain stations, I can't remember what they are now, I would get NOAA weather, 162.550 megahertz, the NOAA station would come across in places that it wasn't supposed to be. So I think it has to do with some type of conversion that the radio itself is doing inside the radio. It's really strange, this Chinese radio. These things are really weird.
Yeah, is that tiny radio? What do you call it? The itty bitty radio? Yeah, if it could just be limited to that. You're right. That'd be interesting to have something side by side to see if it showed up on both. But I bet you I would suspect your radio then, just not being sensitive, getting. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not the itty bitty radio. It's the TH. 8900, you know, that TYT RTH 8900, I think it is. It's the mobile that's in my car. But, yeah, really strange. I do a lot of scanning, you know, I scan all the channels, you know, to try and find somebody to listen to, so that's when that stuff comes up. But, okay, Ken, thanks a lot. 73 ACF, this is NABZR, and we'll be listening.
NABZR from NAWRO. I'll be clear as well. Have a good one, Brian. NABZR.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
W8RIT. Boy, everybody's out this afternoon. I was dragging my feet there. What was the other station? KG8Z, I think it was. Well, anyways, so you probably know Anthony, and I don't know if we've chatted before, so my name is Dave. Just making my way home from work on this Friday. Yeehaw! Let's see. Turn on over to the other station. The station ending with Z.
Good afternoon, Dave. KGHZ. My name is Jerry. Yeah, just getting out of work, and I stayed over for retirement seminar, financial engines, and just headed home.
Likewise, I am almost home. I got to make one stop here and make a delivery, and I will be home. I'm not sad. It's pretty nice out. I do think it's supposed to rain this evening, but I'll get past it. It'll be okay.
Yeah, I had a few different spots and times during the day, about three different times I had some, well, very, very minor rain. I mean, you walk out, you just feel it. It'll be a dark cloud passing over here, but that's okay, because I'll tell you what, I was telling that to a coworker some months back, as I'm getting older here, I found that I am a little bit more resilient to cold weather than I used to be. I'm still not, ready for the Arctic or anything like that, but a bit more resilient to that. And also, just for the cold I'm finding out, but then there's other things, too, for getting older here and find out that you're getting a little change of pace for that. Speaking of retirement, boy, I'm kind of envying you for that there, Jerry. Get to see if I ever make it there. And may I ask, what line of work are you in?
I work for Ford Motor Company. I work at the former World Headquarters building, and I'm part of operations. And waiting for them to throw us out of there. I guess they're putting it off for a year or so. We're decommissioning the building presently.
Jerry, you on your way home to get that camper ready for the for Dayton? I know earlier this week we talked, and that's what you were planned on doing this weekend. I think you had some time off coming up too.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say, Jerry, maybe you have to put in a good word for my company here. When you guys leave, I didn't know that you guys were planning on leaving your building there. Put in a good word for us. And then I'm also going to let you know there too, Jerry, that I hear that the rent then will be open. You guys can ship from Ford to General Motors to take over their world headquarters. And Anthony, I'm going to tell you this jokingly. Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm mad at you. You got you a radio deal before me. Dakota made mention he had a radio for sale, and I was hemming and hawing, wasn't really serious about it, and I was going to ask him some more questions, maybe he'll take a look at it, and he's like, the deal's already been done. But that's okay, I got other opportunities and such, so. I was also going to ask, I heard the conversation a little bit this morning, I was on the phone a little bit, about you guys talking with the antennas and such. I got something I'll share with you if you got a little bit of time. But Anthony, I was going to ask you, what kind of long antenna were you referring to that you had on your truck that was starting to warp it a little bit? Just kind of curious. Jerry, over to you. WARG.
Okay, KQ8HZ. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm probably going to go to the iTech building next, but if they offer me some money to retire, I definitely would do that. Although it was nice to listen to what financial engines had to say. And a couple of years ago I signed up for Medicare. I just signed up for Part A, and they said that, oh yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's all you need to sign up for. The Rensen, we had originally built that Ford. And I don't know what happened with that. They were part of that, Ford Land Development and then Renaissance Center Partnership, KG8HZ.
currently connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, don't worry, Dave. I did get that radio from him. It was through a series of events and trades and long story, but at some point, I'm going to use this radio for a little bit, and at some point, it may be back up for sale. So if you're kind of in the market, I will, when I do decide to sell it, I will certainly let you know.
Okay, great. Sounds like a deal. We'll see if I'm ready for it. Yeah, I was calling Tom earlier this afternoon here. I got to see if I can do some more research here. I did a little bit. I want to see if I can do some Googling and figuring out, see if I can find like a comparison chart between the different models so I can have a little bit better of an idea as far as the features of each of the different models and what I'm gaining or losing by going up or down a model, you know, and then being able to compare it price-wise as well there, too. But I'm in no big hurry for one anyways, really. I want to, you know, kind of do a little shopping around, and I was telling both Tom and Dakota, if I found one that would have been great, would have filled two bills at one time for me, because I was looking to have, I was thinking about getting something for 220 just to have that availability, even though it's probably rarely used in this area. So I saw an Elinco that had 220 as well as Senior 440 with DMR. And it seemed good except until I saw that the power output for the 220 side was only 5 watts, while the Senior and 440 had 55 and 45 watts output respectively. So, yeah, I thought the 220 was a little bit light in the loafer, so I'm not really too certain I'm too enthused about that radio anymore. Like I say, I thought it would have been nice to be able to kill two birds with one stone, but the DMR mobile is probably a little bit more of a priority than having a 220 rig, and I kind of like to get one for all modes, you know, multi-modes, so you can do sideband or whatever, but anywho how. Well, yeah, I got to take a look, because I had started doing a little bit of some of that financial advising, so you have to see what all the experts say there, too, as well, but I'm sure everybody has their own opinion, so I wonder how many of the advisors actually agree on major points together. Jerry, over to you.
Yeah, well, they answered a few of my questions, so... That man, 94, at least out here by Allen Park to the airport, is a big parking lot. I had to find a different route to go home. You talked about the KX3 radio. I know the KX3, I think it has 160 in it, whereas the KX2 only has 80 meters and up. KG88.
No, this would be a VHF-UHF mobile from Elinco. I can't remember what the model number was. I think the old one, that I think this is the incorrect one, is CR735, but that could be it. But it was both 2-meter, 220, and 440 with DMR. And I forgot what the price was, but it was in the price range, but then I saw the 5 watts, and I'm like, That kind of took the wind out of my sails a little bit for that. Okay, it's nothing really important as far as that goes for 220. Like I say, it's not that I'm going to be out active, you know, 24/7 on it. It's just, you know, to have the availability. And okay, I haven't really heard very many people at all from the times I have been listening. Like I say, it's probably about in the past year I've been listening. Probably heard maybe 2 or 3 people, really, so... Probably pretty lonely there. But yeah, Jerry, I have been kind of also like window shopping for some other things. I'm also planning on going down to Dayton this year. Like I was thinking just the window shopping, like the Flex radio. I had to take a look at the different models for SDR for a transceiver, HF transceiver. So just toying with that idea. And I have not been over to the new facility for Dayton, so I'm going to see what it's like. Terra Arena, the years past, and yeah, it's kind of good that they're getting into a different site, I think, here, something that's not falling down. Oh, Anthony, yeah, I was about to tell you about the antennas. Yeah, I had a, I use a Comet SVB7, it's a dual band 2-meter 440, which in the past has given me good results. And I was snapping around and I found that it's a Diamond SG7900, and it's pretty tall for a dual band mobile antenna. And I used to live out towards Marine City, and I knew that there were some dead spots as I was traveling, like along 26-mile road, with the 7900. So I was able to stay at the same geographic location, and then switch over to my SBB7, and that relatively cheaper antenna worked much better. And I did have each of the antennas set up so that was pretty much resonant right in the area where I would want to transmit, so there wasn't any issue with that. So, yeah, the more expensive radio, one that was promising from its specifications better gain, did not work out that way in real life. So, Jerry, over to you. Keep it in rotation. WHRIG.
Okay, very good. KG88 Mobile. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the HF model. I got a ICOM 706. 706 Mark IIG, and the 440 side of it was only 8 watts. But I was using it at the time for just a mobile. I had a mobile antenna on the Focus sedan I had, and worked out okay for that until I got up into the UH and VHF spectrum with it. I think the VHF was 25 watts or something like that. It was okay, but it was kind of a letdown there for UHF. Anthony?
Well, maybe he did clear. I thought he was still in here. He said he wasn't too far from his next stop, but I might have missed that part of it. So, oops. Well, we'll leave our feet back here. CP, we'll jump back in. But like I say, I think he was nearby his next stop before he got to home. Yeah, I've also got a 706 Mark IIG myself, and I guess Jerry, we're kind of dating ourselves a bit. it came out with, 7,006 to replace it. I'm kind of toying with that, but you know what? The same thing. What I would really like from ICOM is I would like something like the 706 Mark IIG. But I would like it to have 220. You know, that would be kind of nice. And then it would also be nice if they had it so that way you would have dual receive. So that way, for example, you could tune around on HF. Or have the other receiver on VHF, UHF, or be able to just do VHF on one side and then UHF on the other. But that's kind of a wish dream. I don't know if they'll ever get to that. Right. When I go down to Dayton, I'll probably just make mention of that to one of the techs down there for ICOM, just to put a little bug in her ear and just tell me, yeah, that would be something I would like, but I don't know, they'll probably just tell me just be too expensive and no one would want to buy it then or something, but tell them, well, I would.
Okay, yeah, I bought it when it first came out, and I still have it, but, yeah, as for Dayton, the new, I remember the Air Arena days. And although I wasn't there for the big plumbing mishap, I didn't go that year. I heard about it. Anyway, the new facility is pretty nice, and there's all kinds of food. There's more than one bar, unlike what they had at Era. There's a few places where you can buy beer if you want, and the all the flea market, or the major part of the flea market, is out there in their like a horse racing track.
Okay, very good. A recollection of for Dayton at Hera Arena was that it was a little confusing, but you had to really remember like what area of the building you're at and where you wanted to get to for a particular vendor or something. So I think from what I see, I think it looked to me like there were the how you describe it, like three barns, white barns, that was like, and then the outdoor vendor area. I'm curious, is the outdoor vendor area roughly about the same size as it was at the former location, you know, for as many spots? That wasn't really too bad. I like doing that. And then, probably going to go all 3 days. I put in my vacation request this past week for taking Friday off. And, probably go all 3 days, even on Sunday. Because Sunday, I'm going to, like, the outdoor flea market area and seeing what everybody wanted to offer for basement bargains, you know, before they had to take everything and pack it back up and take it home. Sometimes you found some good stuff that people are like, I want to get rid of it. So other times it was just a little bit fruitlessness, just wasting some time. But it has to be out and about. And then the one thing that I keep saying that I should be doing, which I never have done, is see some of the various forums. They do have some pretty interesting forums there. So I'm going to take a look and see if I can maybe see about scheduling it. So I've been telling some people I've got kind of a window shopping list of things I'd like to get. So I'm going to come back with a boatload of goodies.
Oh, okay, KG88Z. There's an app, if you've got a smartphone, the League has an app that I updated mine, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it has all the you can put it in advance if there's some kind of seminar that you want to go to. It'll remind you, I think, 10 or 15 minutes before it starts that it's coming up. And it tells who all the vendors are. And I guess they took the center of the racetrack and they made that 4 or 5 lanes that they have flea market sites in. And then along the perimeter, there's a bunch of flea markets. So it's probably the same size as the parking lot was.
All right, very good. Yeah, I am kind of interested to see what it is, but I have to see what everybody comes out with this year for any new products. It's also nice to see some of the things that are just like smaller independent people that they've put together. So find some interesting things that way too as well. And that's just things are just interesting to look at. Like I know the guy had the old Collins equipment there with the fairly large transmitter, almost getting to be commercial size. So that was kind of nice to see that you don't really see every day. So yeah, I've got kind of a large list of radio gear that at some point in my life I'd like to pick up. Even, something maybe like along the lines of a 30s-era shortwave broadcast radio, you know, National or Hammerland or something like that, you know, that would be kind of nice to have. Not even so much for the usage, because shortwave broadcasting is kind of withering out, but it'd be nice just to have it for the aesthetics, you know. I happen to think they kind of look nice, you know, so I'm a little bit preferential, too, so. And, well, what about you, Jerry? Are you going just to for Chinese back and forth as far as goes, or are you going to have a spot inside the vendor area? Are you going to be selling anything inside?
Dakota, site US 1940, Caesars Creek State Park. And we're headed down there Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday afternoon. And I don't know, we're going to do some parks during the week. Want to go to the 4 days in May. They're swapping shop thing. And then partake in the convention. And there's like two, there's like three big buildings. And then there's a couple smaller. There's a two, I forget if it's two or three. There's two or three smaller exhibit buildings that they also have vendors in. So you got, I think, four or five buildings. And one of these smaller buildings that they have there, they do a lot of the seminars at that.
Oh, okay, so they have a little bit of it, not what they standardized, but broken up a little bit. And by the way, thanks for that tip on the app there on the Facebook job. With your email, is that on the ARRL website for the app for Payton, or is it the I'll take a look at either one, but I'll probably download it. So, yeah, that would be kind of a nice little thing there. So, again, thank you for that tip. And I haven't really done too much operation with POTA here and there. And I was just looking here, because I was wondering why, I'm still not really too certain why it is. I'd like to ask them a respectful question, but I was looking at why they don't have, like, for example, the park, you know, whether it's or Stony and such as being eligible for a POTA park. And I think they did mention it was, I forgot how they exactly worded it, but I guess those parks would fall under that designation. I think how they worded it, like a co-op program or something. So, so I kind of get now why they don't allow it, but I'm kind of uncertain why. What's the reasoning here? So I'd like to ask them, you know, respectfully, what the reasoning is, just so I can learn a little bit why they don't allow for POTA. Not to complain or anything like that, but just learn a little. So, yeah, I've got some POTA contacts in my log book, but I got to see about changing one of the rules to my log book. At some later point in time. So I figured I'd better start on that right now before that tax gets to be monumental. I've got 10,000 contacts that I would then need to update. So be a little bit ahead of the game there. But yeah, that'd be kind of nice though. It's a nice thing that they've done. It's very simple for just about everybody to be able to participate in year-round all over the nation. So I'm very enthused that they came up with the POTA program. I know they got some others, like SOTA, which is a little bit harder here in Michigan, because I think there's only three different locations here in Michigan that qualify for SOTA. So, either that, or you do WLOTA. Have you heard of WLOTA?
Yeah, what is that, lighthouses?
Well, no, actually it's WLOTA. Somebody has actually started a few years back, but it's Walmart, lots of the on here. So I guess all you do is just give out the particular Walmart store number. So it's sit out in the parking lot and play the radio, I guess.
When they came out with POTA, I was kind of toying. It would be a good idea to do rest stops, but I think you can get out of hand. Anyway, the Walmart thing, that would be a second guess there on that. Because they were letting some campers stay overnight, but I don't think they're doing it anymore. Anyway, KG8HZ, yeah, you would have to go into your Android app, program or whatever Apple has. I forget what, I know the Android is the Play Store. But you have to find the app on there for the league. And it's, you know, it's event based. I think it handles most of the big conventions.
Yeah, all right, I'll take a look with a Play Store or Apple Store, whatever happens to be on the phone here, so that shouldn't be too bad, and that'd be a nice thing to have, and probably got where all the particular vendors are at, too, on a map, so that's another handy too as well. And, so I think, what's the designation for the lighthouse? Is it just LOTA? And, I think we actually have a couple here in Michigan that qualify, unless that's a different program. I had done that years past when I had done, yeah, there was something for lighthouses in Michigan, now that I'm thinking, because I had the trip up towards, well, I did pick up towards Traverse, that area, and I stopped at a few different lighthouses, and I had a little radio for like an hour in the parking lot or so at some of them, and, but I didn't really want to spend too much time. I mean, I'd rather see the fight rather than play too much radio at the fight. So yeah, there is something. And I think they also have, you know, for warships on here, which is always kind of nice there too. See what else I come up with next for this year. I think it started off in the beginning of ham radio, amateur radio, with RSGB with the IOTA Islands on here. So. It's always nice though, but I say, you know, it's just nice for the POTA, because, you know, anybody can do it here relatively easy. And we can turn up here, and I'm not too far from the homestead here.
KGE, they said mobile. There's this one that I got an email on from the coordinator about a month ago, the Iron Bell Trail, Iron Bell Michigan Trail or something or another, and it makes its way through Belle Isle. There's a down by the Oakwoods Metro Park, downriver, part of the Metro Park system, and the trail goes through there. I asked for a map from one of the gatekeepers, and they even have it listed, the Iron Bell Trail running through the downriver portion of Metro Park. The place I found was pretty decent to work from was the horse pickup and delivery and pickup spot. They've got some. They've got some picnic tables and a park grill, and it's 85 feet off of the trail. So, as long as we're within 100 feet, you can work the trail. So, I never envisioned a park that's only less than 4 miles from my house I could activate. KGE Gate Stud.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I'm trying to sit there and think what the nearest one my house would be. Well, other than Belle Isle, let's see here. I think the other nearest one would be, I've got the name of the park now. Is it, it's at a brain fart, what the name of the park is up Chesterfield, but I think that's the nearest one here. Someone else was telling me about something along 26 mile road over Rosebeck area, North Avenue. Someone made mention that there's like a small park nearby there too as well. But mostly I haven't really activated any. I've just been working the station, so I'm going to have to do that too, and get out and activate something. Be a little bit on the other side of the pile up.
Connected to CMN Network.
Parksontheair.com, I think, and or I don't think it's .org, it's .com, and you can get an account there, and that the account will populate with all the people you've worked already. It's all up to the activators to turn in their logs. The hunters don't have to do anything, but except to create an account.
Okay, no, I do not have an account there yet, but I probably should. Homestead here, so I'm probably going to clear out, and well, I'll probably be in here for one more. Answer this question. Do you know, is there like any app or software that would, once you work a station, you know, a POTA station, was there any app or software that you know of that would like kind of load in on a map where it is geographically to display for you where you've worked? Application, software, or anything that you know of that would do so?
Well, the account's free, although they do take donations, but there's a map page, and then there's your hunter page where all the stations you've worked you can access. There's a tab where you can upload your files, another tab for whatever parks, it keeps track of whatever parks you work, but the account, like I say, is free, but they will take donations. KG8 is good.
Very good. That sounds exactly what I'm looking for then. Just something that would indicate to me, based on my logbook for the POTA station, just what I work and where. That's kind of nice. You know, I like doing that. I also like, you know, working counties and things of that nature. I've got some for grid squares. There's a program out, what is it, VE2ZAC. Creator for the software. But you have the software that will do this. Will take from your log for your grid squares, usually on obviously VHF and UHF, and then plot them on a map and show you, you know, that you contacted this grid square on this band and such. So kind of nice once you get down to it, you can see a little bit what areas you need to work more and things like that. So, but I've got a long way to go before I even worry about getting near complete, like a clean sweep for the POTA station. I'm going to go and see if I can figure out just how many there are here. Well, anyways, Jerry, I am in the driveway. Nice chatting with you. Thanks for the tip. And hopefully I'll hear from you very shortly here. So I'll be turning back to you, and I'll listen out for your comment. 7-3, and have a great evening. And a great weekend. KG8-8-7-8-R-I-D.
All right, 7-3, I wanted to let the fire and the ambulance in Brownstown go by, rather than get it in the microphone. 7-3, and good luck with that, and look for that lead gap, and that's nice to make your acquaintance, KG8 Pizza.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KEAWUO, testing a new radio. Anyone out there?
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-W-U-O, W-8-R-C-Y, hears you loud and clear.
Well, good. I just reached the low power, so hopefully I'm getting in well enough still.
Not hearing any difference on this end.
Well, very good. I appreciate the feedback there. I just got this going in the vehicle, so it's nice to have a mobile setup finally.
Copy that. Well, like I said, it sounds solid right out of the box. So do enjoy. I'll let you go. I got to get back to doing some stuff. W8RCY. The storms are coming. Be careful if you're out on the road. We're clear.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. This is K-E-8-W-U-O. I will be clear.
K-E-8-W-U-O-N-A-T-E-R.
Beezer. There he is. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing good. You sounded... I got a for you.
All righty, shoot.
Yesterday, when we were doing the net, I had asked if the KCUMC receiver was going to be, linked in, and I'm pairing into the Golden Standard old plug that somebody wrote, and I'm taking a look at it, and it looks to me like the district MyCon. Here we go. No, it's the MyCon. The MyCon Alpha 3 is using the Macomb County T8UMP. Were you aware of that? Over.
Yeah, I am. The UMP is not technically, it's not owned, it's not part technically of WA8MAC, or is it really kind of affiliated with us, whereas like the WA8MAC is, and then Sean, being a member, is gracious enough to let us get on the FBI repeater system, and since the WA8MAC is VHF and the FBI system is UHF, connecting them together kind of gives everybody, a way in regardless of their, VHF or UHF capabilities. Now, as far as the MyCon goes, MyCon, is separate from ARPSC. We will be, using that for Skywarn. So it's not like we don't use it. It's that typically just our T station will be using it to communicate with MyCon, and so that would just be one station, and that will typically be Tim, N-A-W-R-O, Mike, or Dave, while most likely W-8-C-E, I think it is. I always get those call signs, letters rearranged. He will be running the net. So I'm going to take a quick break here for time, put a quarter in. Long story short, should we need to get into MyCon, one of those three will probably do it. So MyCon is still something, worth monitoring, during a Skywarn net or something along those lines. Because you'll hear what we're actually reporting to MyCon, to the National Weather Service and such and whatnot. I have a loose understanding of what you know, all goes on there. There may be someone else that could chime in and clarify a little bit better, but that's roughly, you know, the gist of it that I understand. So when it comes to, like, the KCA UMP, we won't, you know, necessarily be using that as a backup repeater for us, because it sort of has other purposes beyond typical amateur radio use, if that helps to answer your question as to why you might see it on the Golden Standard as well.
And, well, that was funny about putting a quarter in. That was funny. Okay, yeah, I understand now about the Micon. Okay, and then, now question two is, it looks to me like, looking at this code plug, that they have the transmit and receive frequencies for the repeater system. I was just wondering, Golden Standard has been used anywhere before? Because what I'm trying to do is write another code plug, a little tiny one, to my radio, so my DM32, so that I can just go to Alpha 1, Bravo 3, Charlie 10, whatever, you know, that you guys call out the channels by, by making a separate zone that I'm going to put all these channels in, so I can just go by the Alpha Bravo Charlie designation instead of trying to fumble through whatever the station name actually is. So that's why I'm asking these questions. And I was just checking, and it seemed like the transmit and receive frequencies were swapped around. I was just wondering if this thing had ever been used before. Over.
That's a very good question, and, you know, that is honestly something that I do all the time. Being semi-dyslexic, you know, I even mentioned how I get Jeff call sign letters all flip-flopped. I do the same thing with the frequencies there with RX and TX. However, that's not my code plug, so I can't say for sure. I know Mike NAV2Z made that, and if you do see that, and that does seem to be the case, we would love to know to fix that as soon as possible, because we would be telling everybody the gold standard, and it would be wrong. So that's perfect. That's just what we needed to do. So, let me know what you see there. I looked it over. I found one discrepancy, but it's. Put, you know, there's a potential that things are flip-flopped. So hopefully that's not the case for all of them. But, if I remember that gold standard and the PDF that they made, the PDF might be, or the Excel file, what have you, I think it's a PDF, might be showing the TX instead of the RX, and maybe that's what's got you confused. But are you looking at the code plug or the PDF?
No, I'm looking at the code plug. I wasn't even looking at the PDF. But, I don't know. It's so difficult here because I've got to transpose from the TERP written code plug over to the DM32 file thing. And everything is in different places on it, so... Maybe it's me. I don't know. I'll take a closer look at it, and I'll let you know if I find out that there's a problem with it. Also, the other thing you can do is, at least in the DM32 radio, is that we can put the TTCSS code in both receive and transmit columns. And in most cases, that channel will work that way, because there's not too many that are split in other ways.
All right, yeah, very interesting. We'll definitely have to take a look at that and make sure everything's on the up and up. I think I looked at the code plug. I think I looked at the Baofeng UV5R code plug, but I don't think I looked at any of the other ones. I think there's two. So I think I looked at the one that you're looking at, and I thought it was right, but, you know, I'm not perfect. I definitely see cross-eyed from time to time. So hopefully it didn't get past myself and Mike, but as soon as I get inside, I will take a look and see what I see, and let me know what you think, and we'll go from there. Then I can get a hold of Mike and let him know. But yeah, we'd love to have that fixed and probably told to our members before the, you know, next weekend. We'll definitely have to take a look at that. There's something else I was going to say, but I lost it. Over to you. This is KEAWUO.
The Land Cruise repeater was called N8 Charlie Lima, where it should have been N8 Lima Charlie. But that was just a very minor thing, you know, so the frequency was correct and everything. That's just a minor thing with the nomenclature on the name. Those dogs are driving me crazy. I guess I got to get out of here and go feed them. Over.
Alrighty, sounds good. I will let you go. Does look like some storms are rolling in, so I got both my vehicle's doors wide open and all that. So I'm gonna let you go and clean up over here and get ready for some rain. I just got the car washed too, so this is perfect. All right, Brian. Oh, and that was what I was gonna say is thank you for putting that in your code plug for the set, because that will make life a lot easier. You're like one of the only other people I've heard that that is taking the effort to put that in the radio. So, but I'm feeling raindrops now, so I got to go. KEAWUO.
Thanks for coming back to me. And real quick, just tell me what kind of antenna you're putting in the car, okay? And this is any easier.
I have a, it's a Comet, I just unscrewed it while I was transmitting. I'm not sure how that worked out, but it's a Comet 2x4 SR.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
No.
Chirping on James Township.
KEAWUO, NABZR.
NABZR from KEAWUO. NABZR from KEAWUO.
KEAWUO, this is NABZR. Do you copy?
Yeah, do you copy me?
Yeah, I copy you. Copy you, okay. Over.
Okay. Yeah, I was just sitting down, and I thought I heard you call me on the radio, so I was just calling back.
Post plug in this radio. You know, all their nomenclature, like Alpha 1, Bravo 1, Charlie 1, and so on. And I'm talking to you on it right now, and I got it right on my radio. But I believe that in Mike's post plug, they're backwards. Over.
Okay, copy that. I will take a look and let Mike know. I'll keep you updated, and I appreciate the feedback.
Yes, yeah, it's the column that says little r, I forget what it says, but the little r is to receive, and the little c is for the transmit. Now, that's from the handy talkie, okay? That's transmit. That's what the repeater is listening on, is the little r. And r is for receive. Post plug to you in 32 though. Yeah, I'll send it to you and you can decide whether you want to put it on the website.
Okay, copy that. We will I will get that over to Mike right away. I'm standing outside in my socks underneath the awning in the rain here, so I'm going to jump inside. I don't have a radio in the house, so I had to jump outside. But so I will get that information out to the powers that be and get back outside of the rain.
Okay, 73, John. Thanks for coming back. Any busy air clear.
Connected to CMN Network.
All right. Thanks again. KE8WUO, heading back inside, 73.
KE8WUO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And also the FBI Network. But wait, there's more. You're also connected to John Hagen's All-Star Node. But that's not all. If you act now... Oh, good afternoon. Yep. Just plugged my phone in and it went right in the music. That's okay. Just grab some Chinese carry out on the way home. Nice. I got another energy drink and some Mountain Dews. And the weather is perfect for me to stay up all night and burn the midnight oil. So I'm excited for that. It'll be nice to get that all a little further along. But Chinese food sounds good. I can't even remember what I just ate. What the heck? Oh, chicken, rice, and broccoli. It was good.
That's always a winner. Uh-oh. Priority waste truck, stay clear. Yeah, so I couldn't decide what. We were hemming and hawing, so I said, let's do Chinese. So we both agreed on that. My wife and I have completely different tastes. I can tolerate some of the things she likes, and she has very low tolerance for the things I really like, so we have to figure out things that are compatible. Sometimes I even go to two different places, one for me and one for her. But Chinese, we can generally both find something, although she doesn't like it that often. And what do they say? You're hungry an hour later?
Well, at least he's not one of those where, I don't care, anything sounds good, and then she doesn't want it. You know, like, I'll have a milkshake. Like, no, you actually have to get some food. Where do you want me to get you food? I will go wherever you want. Just tell me what you want. She seems like she at least knows what she wants, which is good.
Well, she does pull the I don't care anywhere stuff. It's frustrating because I'm not picky. I can literally find something to eat anywhere. There's literally no place I can't find something. The odder, the better. What I don't like is I get tired of, just a fast food hamburger place, something like that. But still, I can find some place, something, anywhere, any restaurant, so I'm very eclectic. And the stranger, the better. But, so really, it's up to her to decide because I can find something no matter what she picks. Me, on the other hand, I always want things like, what do you want? Oh, let's go to Vietnamese, or let's go to, Mediterranean, or let's get Thai, or let's get Indian. And, it's like, nope, not, next, not, nope, uh-uh. And it's like, okay, then you pick.
Yeah, my least favorite meal that we eat is nachos, because I just don't understand. It's like eating chips and, like, cheese and meat. And I just don't find that to be a meal. it's like a fat snack. I don't know. I'm pretty flexible. I never thought I would like Thai food, but now it's one of my favorite things. I don't do so well with Mexican food, but I don't do so bad with it either. I tend to be kind of picky. I do like Italian. Pretty much anything Italian I'll devour.
All right, so where's a good place to get spaghetti or better yet, gnocchi? Without, I don't mean exotic place, but is there a good family restaurant that has a good pasta?
I can't remember it. There's a place at like 16 and Dodge Park that we get like lasagna from. And then there's another place where I sometimes get spaghetti from. And I know you say your wife loves the spaghetti, and I think you'd like it too. But I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. Or even where. Because the one place at like 16 and Dodge Park or 15 and Dodge Park is good. I want to say it's like Viviano's or something like that, but I don't think that's where I get the spaghetti that I think you would like. Because I remember that place that Gordon Ramsay took out that was used to be a favorite of yours, and there is a place that has spaghetti that reminds me a lot of that, but I'll have to get back to you on where that is because I don't want to be hemming and hawing on the air forever. But I'll have to think about it.
So if the place you get the lasagna from is 15 in Dodge Park, if that's more of an Italian market where you can get, not really a restaurant, probably Ventimiglia's. And we've had the lasagna there. I brought it home, and I think my wife did like it. As far as spaghetti, we haven't found a suitable. We thought we found one. We thought Louis's. Was good, but it had onions in it, so she didn't like it. I guess she didn't notice it the first time we had it, but the second time she noticed it, unless they made it different. But so that one's out. So we're still questing for a decent spaghetti, and we've yet to find one that matches the old Firenze's, which is, it was a real simple recipe. It was very, very simple and just good, hearty. And she used to get the gnocchi most of the time. And I got to admit, I liked it too. It was really good. But, like you said, Gordon put them out of business, so we are still questing.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, we kind of went down the rabbit hole over here one of these days after the last time you and I talked about, you know, kind of the way Gordon Ramsay really shut that down. And from what I understand, it's like an 80%, 80-20 or 70-30 split, where the majority of the restaurants he would go to went under afterwards. And that's kind of crazy, you know. It seems like the way, you know, his menus and then his little cut that he would get, it wasn't really enough to keep those places afloat. And so I think a lot of the places had trouble, you know, before they call him, and so that's why, you know, it's such a horrible turnover rate. But yeah, it sort of seems like the kiss of death with Gordon. I guess his food must not have been that good to save them from extinction like that. But I'll have to try to keep an eye out for that spaghetti place that I'm thinking of, because it is good. It's a lot like Firenze's was. So if I find it or think of it, I will, you know.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Yeah, as far as the Ramsay thing goes, so, yeah, you know, that's kind of like, you know, people say, oh, I don't like the hospital at the corner, you know, I know so many people that went there and, you know, they got sick or they died or something like that, you know. Well, that's why people go to hospitals. They're dying, you know, so you're going to have that. It's going to, you know, you're going to have a pretty high percentage, not high, but relatively speaking. You know, if people were going to Firenze's and dying, that would be notable. But if people go to the hospital and die, you know, well, that's why people go to the hospital. They're sick and sometimes dying, you know, and that's where you go. So, and I think that's kind of like Ramsay, you know, these restaurants are sick and dying, and they're in really bad shape, and so he comes in and tries to fix them. I think the problem is, so I get two stories. So one of them says that he came in, they pay you some, they immediately infuse some cash into the business, so that's the temptation. But then you got to convert to his menu and sell his stuff. And his stuff just doesn't cut it in South Warren. You know, it's like, you know, Gordon Ramsay menu in, you know, at 10 Mile in Van Dyke isn't necessarily, you know, going to cut it. You know, people like the family, you know, restaurant and all that. So, you know, I don't see how that's going to fit. But, you know, they were in bad shape anyhow. The other side is I heard, you know, the kitchen was disgusting and dirty and they had a rodent problem and all sorts of other things. And it was just, he was just, so I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed that place. I never noticed anything, you know, that would have been health code-wise. But that's the rumor. And I think they try to market a Gordon Ramsay restaurant at 10 Mile and Van Dyke. It's like, well, come on. I mean, that's just not the demographic. I wanted my working stiff pasta.
Yeah, you know, I never did ever see any sort of Gordon Ramsay episode from there. But I would be really interested to hear or see that, because, you know, if they did have a rodent problem, you know, I'm sure that I would have thought that would have made the show, but maybe not, you know, because the way the health food and, you know, health department will go in there and shut it down type of thing. But it'd be really fascinating to see kind of behind the scenes there with Gordon Ramsay and see what all happened. But yeah, I've never really seen or heard of anyone that saw that episode. But yeah, you're right about what you say about the hospitals. That's a very good point, and I think that's exactly, you know, you hit the nail on the head with Gordon Ramsay and the restaurants. You know, they're basically dying, and Gordon Ramsay's the doctor, and he's trying to save them, but. You can only do so much unless you're a miracle worker. I don't think he was quite a miracle worker, but he did work some wonders.
Yeah, if his menu and his style and all that stuff works in the neighborhood that the dying at the troubled restaurant is in, then great, you know, then it probably is a success, but you know, I'm sure some of it's that. Anyhow, the episode never aired, and I guess it never will. I'll send you the link, but I found someplace where they were talking all about what happened and everything. And in that, it talked about how the episode's not going to air and et cetera. So I'll try to find it, what I've stumbled across, and shoot it over to you. But I'm home with the food. I'm going to get inside while it's still warm. W8FU after yours.
All righty, 73's KEAWUO.
KEAWUO, NABZR.
What's up, Brian? Hanging in there? Playing around with your radio a little bit more?
Yeah, I was just paying some bills and stuff, and then I started working on that code plug thing, and I sent the code plug to Discord. I put it on there so anybody can append it to their, to their code plug. It just has those channels that we were talking about from Mike. So I just want to let you know that it was on there on Discord. So if anybody wants to append it to their GM32 code plug, they can just go right ahead and... But buyer beware, only tested on the one channel that I've been talking to you on. Over.
Okay. So I'll have to take a look at that. I'm using a new radio here, and it's scanned over to a different frequency right in the middle of your transmission there. So I caught most of it. I know you said you... posted it on Discord, and you know that way other people could put it in there, which is awesome. And it's also good to kind of remind our members, you know, that hey, there is a gold standard out there that we would love to have you guys have in your radio. So, I'll take a look. I can't remember if you submitted one that I put on the website or not, but if I don't have that on there for the DM32. With the gold standard in it, I can add it. Tim and I were talking, and per Tim, there may be it sounds like our interpretation is that the golden nugget or whatever it's called, it is correct. So might... have something backwards or something. I'm not exactly sure, but I personally haven't looked at it, but according to Tim, he says it's good. And then I did look at it originally before I posted it, and I thought I fixed a couple little nuances that I found on it, or at least sent it back to Mike to do, because it's kind of his. But so far, I think it will be all right, but it's very interesting. We'll have to take a look, and you know, I'd like to get another set of eyes on it just to confirm that that it is a yay or a nay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it has put another set of eyes on it. It'd be perfect. On my code plug, all I did is I copied the CTCSS code for the transmit and made it the same on the receive, because that's how most channels work. So it was a little bit different than Mike's, but yeah, okay, good, real good. Okay, I'm going to go get something to eat now here. 73, talk to you later. This is NABZR Worker.
All righty, sounds good, and thanks again, and we will be talking again soon, shortly. Have a good rest of your day. Hopefully you get something extra good. Let us know if you find some good spaghetti. All right, KEAWUO, I will be clear.
That's what I'm doing. I'm cooking spaghetti after listening to you guys talk.
I love me some good spaghetti. I'll stop by in about a half hour and grab some from you. How's that sound?
If I don't eat it all.
All right. Have a good one. K-E-A-W-U-O. I will be clear.
And the busy are clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.